the small page 14. And are in the bulletin, and the page numbers are there. So we're going to start in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Page 1813 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. So Paul's writing to the Galatians, and he reminds them, starting in verse 26, he says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise." Now, if you turn back a little bit into the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we're going to be reading 1 through 8. That's on page 1649. This is titled, "Jesus Teaches Nicodemus." So now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. But he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." And in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So how can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Well, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Did I tell you the truth? No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." I have a second gospel reading this week that I want us to look at too. This comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, page 1606. The healing of the demon-possessed man. Starting at verse 26, we're told, he says, "They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from the Galilee. So when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. So when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me.' For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times as it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by demons into the solitary places. Well, Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Legion,' he replied, 'because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss.' Well, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And the demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. So when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. So when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man for whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. For those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return home and tell how much God has done for you.' So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Father, open our hearts and our minds this morning so we might have a clear understanding of your word, of your will, so that we may leave from here today. Go tell all over town how much you have. We gotta move. I'm gonna sit a little bit today. My granddaughters have been with us and they wore me out. So to all you dads out there, happy Father's Day. What am I doing? I think it's there. I better. Will we all get annoyed? Okay. So anyway, happy Father's Day. I want to encourage you to let the love of God lead you, guide you in your life. Before, think about this, before you pass on your legacy. You're thinking, now that's kind of strange. So, how many of you are proud of your heritage? I don't see all the hands going up. You do realize that, especially you dads, that you're going to pass on a legacy through your heritage of what you do in your life. When I think about this, because those you pass it on to, they got to live with it. So I'm thinking about, well, I remember my aunt. This is not good, Ron. I don't know what we're doing here today. Let's try it there. But she used to say to me, she says, you know, you came from a long line of horse thieves. And I think about the heritage of my grandfather. So, most of you probably knew Sam. He was known as the community drunk. I'm not real proud of that heritage. But both my mother and my father both came to know the Lord in their hearts and to serve Him. And they passed that legacy on to me. Of that, I am truly grateful and truly humbled because of what my father passed on to me. So when I got to thinking about this sermon and reading it this week, the lectionary called for this, for just the Gospel of Luke, about the story about the demon-possessed man. I thought, well, that's kind of a strange message to give on Father's Day, isn't it? Who wants to talk about demon possession on Father's Day? But as the more I thought about it, I thought, every dad here knows, all fathers know, most all parents know, at some point in their lives, they're going to be passing on their legacy of what they did, what their lives meant. And guess what? Those they pass it to are the ones that have to live with it. So what is a legacy? I looked that up in Webster's. It says, so this is, according to Webster's dictionary, legacy is defined as a gift by will. Ooh. Ooh. We chose to pass on what we did in our life. Ooh. A gift by will, especially of money or personal property, something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or a predecessor or from the past. That which is related to or associated with or carried over from an earlier time. So unfortunately, you can't choose the legacy you have to live with, because it's passed on to you by those who have gone before you. But you can choose the legacy you leave behind. So as I thought about that, I'm trying to put all this into context in my head, and I got thinking about it. What about those poor individuals, those poor families that are dealing with this legacy that was left to him, it wasn't so good. I mean, I was fortunate. My parents left me a legacy of going to church on Sunday morning, of knowing who God was. What happens to the people who never get to do that, who never have that legacy left to them? They've never been taught that. And they don't always come to know Christ. Sometimes they have to seek him out. So it led me to our second reading in the Gospel of John, in the story about Nicodemus. I thought, well, this gives us another whole viewpoint of that, doesn't it? So let's go back to the first story. First one I want to talk about is the demon-possessed man. So when I thought that, looking at that this healing that happened, we first, before we can truly understand the story, we got to know what the dynamics are, but we got to know what really Jewish piety was all about. So first off, we need to understand that pigs were thought of as being unclean. They were if you were to eat from a pig, it was a sign of uncleanliness. So Jews didn't raise too many pigs, but they're in the Gerasenes, so they're in non-Jewish territory. So we might be able to reason why the demons went into the pigs. Especially the disciples, they're probably thinking, that's no great loss. Probably was to somebody else, but it was no great loss to them. But because that was their mindset, that's how we get to understand what these scriptures are talking about. So, and it also tells us that he was wandering in the tombs. He was living in the tombs. Well, the tombs in their times, they would whitewash him because it was figured to be unclean. You were unclean if you touched one of these tombs. So they would go in and they would whitewash them all so they'd know not what tombs not to touch. And, well, you think about a naked man running around, well, to be without clothes on was really shameful in the old days. There's another sign of being unclean, ungodly, unholy. It was just downright shameful. And then if you had leprosy or if you were known to be demon-possessed, you didn't want to get close to anybody because they didn't want to catch what you had. They didn't want them demons coming out, so you were supposed to be crying, unclean, unclean, anytime you came near somebody. So we get that in our mindset. And then we read the scripture and we think, nobody in these days really want to hear this. They have trouble hearing this authority, especially when it talks about demons. I mean, we'd understand it better if this poor man was known said to have a mental illness. We're not comfortable with that. We're not comfortable with giving credit to a demon for this mental illness. But what we want to talk about is Jesus' deep compassion for this guy, his love and how he healed him. And we want to talk about all that good side. We don't want to talk about it. Touch us, and we don't want to talk about demons. But you do know, and you need to understand that demons surround us. And that's hard to swallow, isn't it? The only problem is you and I, we can't see them. I mean, it's not like they wear a badge or a button. Or when somebody has demons, comes near you, is yelling, unclean, unclean. But the demons do surround us. Scriptures tell us so. And we can see their work. Sometimes it's in mental illness. Sometimes it's in our human nature. Sometimes it's even in the way we doubt. Sometimes we see those demons present themselves in the fear we have, especially in our world today. We see plenty of that going around, don't we? Doubt about what's to happen, what's to come, and the fear of it all, and we let it affect us. Do you think there's demons at work? I think there is.
I think there's been demons that worked for years. Think about it. Think about the demons of, say, alcoholism or drug abuse. Maybe sexual or physical abuse or oral abuse, divorce, premature death. I mean, the list goes on. Bankruptcy due to job loss or even abandonment. I mean, that's just a few. And they're all actually chains that bind us. These demons, they bind us. And they keep us from passing on our legacy of the love of God. So you look at this account in the healing of the demon-possessed man. It says the townspeople had been content to control it by isolating it on the outskirts of society. The graveyard. Don't we do the same thing? We want to isolate them that fear them demons that are within us. We isolate them usually, but hide them internally, don't we? We try to keep them away from our neighbors or the public or the ones closest to us we love. We even hide. We hide what we want, our deepest, darkest thoughts. Oh, demons in our lives. As though we don't recognize them as having personalities, but they do. Think about this. We think we're hiding them, but we don't. Problem is, we're too much like these townspeople. You think these townspeople's, all they wanted to do was to get rid of this guy, right? They wanted him to clear out of there. Then when Jesus healed him, now that scared him even more. So demons still abound, didn't they? And they wanted Jesus to leave. And they told him to leave. So what did he do? He left. That was their big mistake. But he left a legacy, didn't he? He left someone behind, that demon-possessed man who'd been healed. And why did that happen? Because he wanted to leave a legacy of hope and a legacy of courage. Isn't that what we want to be leaving today? Is that, especially dads, isn't that what you want to leave when you go? A legacy of hope and courage? When I think about this, and I get more thought about it, I thought, okay, so we have a hard time dealing with demons and this naked guy running around the tombs. We have a hard time relating to that. Maybe we can relate better to Nicodemus. Think about this. So in the Gospel of John, and Nicodemus, we're told that he had actually the same kind of hope, the same kind of courage in his life. He tells us that he was still a little shy here. He says he came in secretly to Jesus at night. He didn't want everybody else knowing what was going on. So that tells me that, yeah, he had this hiding attitude in his head. It's like, I really don't want other people to know that I'm going to, especially the other Pharisees. I mean, can you imagine him thinking Jesus was anybody special? So rather than face the gauntlet of people scoffing at him and sneering at him, he says, nighttime comes in the dark and he goes and he pounds, I just see him down pounding on Jesus' door, can't you say it? Master, I need to talk to you. What did he say to him? I see the one verse that says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. He wanted to know who God was. He wanted to know that, make sure that the beliefs of the Pharisees of the age, that not only carried out scriptures, they wanted you to enforce all the rules from traditional men, from their fathers. And he couldn't go along with that. He thought what was important probably was what comes from God, God's will. So that's why he sought him out and thought he found God. Well, Jesus shows up, he opens the door, and can you imagine this? When he founds him, he says, Jesus tells him, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can see. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, can you imagine? You go up and you think you've found God and you've seen all the works that God has performed. You knock on the door, he opens the door and he tells the master, I know you got to be from God. And he comes out and says, well, you know, you can't come in. You can't be part of the kingdom of God unless you're born again. I'd be a bit confused. Wouldn't you? I think about this. How am I going to be born again? This is what Nicodemus was even saying. He says, can I enter my mother's womb again and be born? How could this possibly happen? And Jesus tells him, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. So if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, it must mean, first of all, you have to be born of water, which is, you got to have a mom. I see quite a few moms out here. I see one to be. When this child is born, it should be born of the water. But the minute it's born, the minute it takes its first breath, now has spirit. It must be born of the Spirit. I know there's big controversies going on over abortion and all that we see in our countries, and everybody's fighting and arguing about it. But you know, the minute a child is born, it is born of the Spirit. Of what spirit is it going to leave its legacy? Are they going to leave a legacy of God and godliness? Are they going to leave a legacy of doubt and fear? What we need to ask ourselves. So the good news is that Christ Jesus passed on his legacy to us when we're born of the Spirit. When we come to believe in Christ, that's our legacy. That's my Father's legacy. We come to this church, we recognize that God is our Father and he's our Father, and the legacy that he has left on to us came through Jesus, who was born of the water. And by his Spirit, which he left that we can receive, we have received that same legacy to live with. And we can pass on that legacy. When you leave here today, you want to ask yourself, so have I been born again? Understand that you know that on the cross, Jesus broke the stranglehold, those chains demons have on you. Whatever those demons are in your lives, I don't know what they are, but I know the one who does know. And I do know that he can cast them out. And they'll be gone forever. It's hard to believe. There are still demons among us. And we all live with them until we bring them to him. Think about it. How do you pass on a legacy? All the time I was working on this and wanting to ask that question, an old song of the Three Wooden Crosses. How many of you remember that Randy Travis did? Kept in mind. I figured this was a story that he must have struggled with, the writer of this. I'm not certain it was Randy Travis or not. But you think he must have been struggling with this very image of demons and the legacy we leave. And I thought, just to remind you, I better sing that today. Farmer and a teacher, hooker and a preacher, riding on that midnight bus, bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education. Two of them were searching for lost souls. Driver never saw that stop sign. 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why, there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not much you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. Farmer left his harvest, home in 80 acres. Faith and love of growing things in his young son's heart. And a teacher left the wisdom in the minds of life's children. Did her best to give them all a better start. Preacher whispered, can't you see the prophet? Preacher whispered, I am. Preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he laid that blood-stained Bible in a hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Five is not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not much to take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that a preacher told last Sunday, when he held his blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses. That's right, not four of them, heaven only knows. That it's not much to take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Let's pray. Father, help us to pass on a legacy of your love, of your compassion, of your healing and greatness. We do ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen.